Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. We are glad to be with you today. It's an awesome privilege we have to study God's Word together, and we are honored to do that with you here on Hope for Today. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, where we focus on Bible teaching and Bible distribution. It's incredible how the Bible and the truth from Scripture are not limited to a certain area or people. The truths in the Bible are for all people, everywhere. And we're excited today to look at these truths with you from the next section of John chapter 19. The title is The Wonder of It All, and we are continuing our look at the crucifixion. There is something that happens in this passage, verse 34, that is worth focusing on. This is where the soldier pierces the side of Jesus and the blood and water gush out. Keep this in mind and think with me back to the Garden of Eden. Do you remember how God created Eve? God put Adam into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took a rib from Adam's side and created Eve. As you know, she was the first woman, and this was the first marriage. God used the rib from Adam's side and created Eve. Imagine their first meeting. It must have been quite amazing. And notice Adam had his side pierced, and shortly after this, he met his bride, Eve. In today's passage, what happened to Jesus on the cross is similar. The soldiers didn't take a rib from Jesus' side, but they did pierce his side with a spear. I understand the place they pierced to be between the ribs, near the top of the rib cage, close to his heart. By the way, I also imagine God taking a rib from Adam's side that was close to his heart. And that is where our spouses should be, close to our hearts. When the soldiers pierced his side, water and blood came out. Now let's think about water and blood. Do you recognize the significance of these two? If you want to be a part of the bride of Christ, both are very important. Jesus had his side pierced, and we can be his bride if we accept his shed blood and receive baptism. Let's think about the importance of blood and water to the church, Christ's bride. The crucifixion is a bloody story from start to finish. There are so many times where his blood was shed. Remember the crown of thorns? During a whipping, the victim's back was typically turned to a bloody pulp. Then imagine the robe covering his back and beginning to adhere to the cuts, only to be ripped off and reopen all those wounds. Then there are the nails through his hands and his feet. More blood. Don't forget the spear in his side, which we just mentioned. From beginning to end, Jesus' blood is shed over and over. It's hard to explain exactly how it works, but we believe through the shed blood of Jesus, we can be forgiven and have our relationship with God restored. Isaiah 53 says it like this, "By his stripes we are healed." To be part of the bride of Christ, we must recognize our sinfulness, accept Christ's shed blood for us, and turn from our sin. The Bible uses one word for this, repent. Now think about the water. Soon after we repent and begin our walk with Christ, we declare publicly that we are a follower of Jesus. We believe this public declaration should be accompanied by water baptism. A baptism is a significant event, yes, for the individual making the commitment, and in the spirit world. This physical act is very powerful spiritually. Think back to the big baptism in Acts. Right after that, we see Satan trying to wipe them out with persecution. And to this day, it seems that baptism still has a similar effect. This call to repent and be baptized is recognized by Christians everywhere, and it has been preached by men of God down through the ages since the cross. This is the blood and the water. This is how we become a part of the bride of Christ. Think of all his followers from all time. These people all together make up the church, his bride. Now imagine what a meeting that will be when Christ calls his bride home. This will be even more amazing than when Adam and Eve first met. You will want to be there. Don't miss it. Repent and be baptized. Recognize the importance of the blood and the water. I was amazed and worshiped God at the similarities between Adam and Christ. From their pierced sides, a bride was prepared and is being prepared for them. Now, keep your Bibles open to John chapter 19 as Bible teacher J. Mark Horst shares more truths with us from this passage.
Some people in Jesus' day thought they crucified a dangerous criminal. Some thought he was a powerful rival. So, in some way, they knew they had to get rid of him. Few of them knew then what the crucifixion really meant. Even though Jesus had spoken about his crucifixion to his disciples, to the 12, yet even they hardly knew what he was talking about. The Gospel of John gives us insights beyond the event itself through a carefully written record. I affirm to you that the death of Jesus was a momentous event, and that's why it will be good for you and me to think together about the wonder of it all, from John chapter 19 and verses 31 to 37. Listen as I read that text. That's John chapter 19, beginning with verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that particular Sabbath day was on high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers took his spear and pierced his side, and there came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knows that it is true, that you might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Now, as we think about the death of Jesus, we ought to give special attention to certain serious considerations regarding that momentous event, the wonder of it all. The first consideration is, consider the Holy Sabbath. The event of Jesus' death took place at the time of one of the most holy religious days. The calendar said it was the time of the Passover. We can hardly overemphasize its significance. As you recall, it was a commemoration of the deliverance of the Jews from Egypt hundreds of years before this. They were saved from death by the sacrifice of a lamb. The blood was very important, for they were instructed by Moses to catch the blood of the lamb in a basin and then sprinkle that blood on the doorposts and on the lintels of the houses in which they were to keep themselves. They were to stay inside all that night. Every faithful Jew in Jesus' day kept the feast of the Passover. It was a high day, a great day. It was a solemn remembrance of God's mercy and deliverance back there in the time when they had been brought out of the land of Egypt by the hand of Moses. And it was because of this high and holy day that the Jews came to Pilate, because they wanted to be sure that the bodies of those who were crucified were not left on the crosses during this high, holy day. Those bodies on the cross would desecrate the Holy Sabbath. And so we consider the Holy Sabbath. Then we also consider the spear-pierced side. There were two men crucified with Jesus, one on one side, one on the other. They were thieves, or malefactors. And so the soldiers were ordered by Pilate to break the legs of those who were crucified to hasten their death. What really happened was they would no longer be able to push up with their feet and support themselves, and they would die of suffocation because their lungs could no longer expand. So the soldiers came and with one blow of the mallet broke each leg of the two thieves. But when they came to Jesus to break his legs, they discovered he was dead already. So they didn't break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers took his spear and pierced the side of Jesus, and immediately blood and water came forth from the side of Jesus. Do you remember what Moses said to the children of Israel many, many years before? He said, "The life is in the blood." And Moses also said, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." So we consider this spear-pierced side of Jesus on the cross. And then finally, we consider the fulfilled scripture. I am deeply impressed as I read these records that the soldiers, governor, and people were fulfilling. These were scriptures they hardly knew had ever been spoken. These scriptures are to bring us to believe, and so the Apostle John wrote, "My record is true, and it is true that you might believe." The truth of the Bible comes out clear, for it is further stated, "The scripture was fulfilled which said, a bone of him shall not be broken." Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that King David, 1,000 years before Christ, could write that in Psalm 34 and verse 20? He keeps all of his bones, and not one of them is broken. And then there was a second scripture that was fulfilled right there in that scene of the crucifixion. It comes from the prophet Zechariah in chapter 12 and verse 10. He wrote, "They shall look on me whom they have pierced." That tells me that Jesus bears the marks now. The marks of the crucifixion. Yes, isn't this a great revelation of the plan of God that King David and the prophet Zechariah would predict and the scriptures would be fulfilled that very time when Jesus died on the cross? Truly, we can say, the wonder of it all. And so, my friend, I urge you to give serious attention to these considerations, the Holy Sabbath, the spear-pierced side, and those fulfilled scriptures. They bear testimony to the truth so that you and I can believe.
Thank you, J. Mark, for today's teaching from God's Word, and thank you for joining us. Now, take what you heard and put it into practice. The teaching and instruction in the Bible is for us, and it is meant to be lived. And we want to bless you as you follow Jesus and share him with those around you. If you have any questions, or if you would like today's teaching, just contact us and ask for it by title or tell us the passage. We also have a study guide available designed to help you learn more from each lesson. It is called the Hope Herald. Please let us know if you're interested, and we'd be happy to give you one. Here are several ways you can reach us. The quickest and easiest way is through email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Send it to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the third way you could contact us is through our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. Please check out our website for this teaching and other similar teaching. There, you will also find other resources available from Heralds of Hope. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. We thank you again for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as Pastor J. Mark continues teaching from the Gospel of John. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with this blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.